Hey, everybody, and welcome to the No Context Podcast. I am your host, Chris Lopez, and I'm sitting with
Cameron Mendez,
JQ,
Rock,
Caleb Kevins.
And today we are reviewing two episodes. The first one is from the show Friends. No one told you life was gonna be this way.
Friends. And how many of us have them?
Friends. And the second episode is from Seinfeld. Let me read the summaries from each individual show, not the episodes themselves. So from Friends, this is from IMDb. It follows the personal and professional lives of six 20 or 30 something year old friends living in Manhattan. Okay. And from Seinfeld, the continuing misadventures of neurotic New York City stand-up comedian Jerry Seinfeld and his equally neurotic New York City friends.
Sounds about right.
What?
What does neurotic mean?
Sounds about white.
I didn't know they lived in Manhattan. Never knew that.
Oh, really?
Who? I knew they were in New York, but I never thought, like, what part? I don't know. In Friends.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't know where they were from in Friends. Mm-hmm.
What other borough would they live in?
I don't know.
Do they Harlem?
It, do they look like Harlem? Jersey?
Like the Bronx,
is this Jersey Brooklyn. Shorty?
I thought that was obviously Harlem. But the amount of
based on
people,
the number of black people on the on Friends.
Can
I
we
would say
black people?
Six white people.
Do we have enough culture in this room to say black people?
I mean, black people is the politically correct term now.
Oh, okay. They took it back. We took it back.
Okay. We took it back.
Just making sure.
Now, African Americans isn't as politically correct because. When is the last time you met somebody from Africa and American?
You got real
quiet. I'm trying to think. I don't know.
This is getting like deeper than what I wanted it.
We picked comedy for a reason, fellas.
And then imagine South Africans that are white. Like
that's racist.
You guys don't say, hey, my South African brothers. No?
No.
It's not a thing?
That would be borderline racist, I think.
Damn, I am probably racist, low-key, high-key,
watch The Wire.
Middle-key, I don't know.
All right, since none of you answered my question, neurotic means having, caused by, or relating to neurosis, mentally ill, mentally disturbed. So these people are mentally disturbed in Seinfeld. There.
Did you really not know the definition of neurotic?
No, that's why I asked.
Didn't you listen to
Good Learners Ask Questions? No.
Great job,
neurotic
Cameron.
To the bone, bro.
Okay,
no doubt about it.
Let me mention which episodes we watched. From Friends, we watched Season 5, Episode 14, the one where everybody finds out. It's rated at 9.7 on IMDb, and the summary says, when Phoebe finds out about Monica and Chandler, she and Rachel attempt to get them to confess their relationship. And from Seinfeld, we watched season 4, episode 11, The Contest, rated at a 9.6 on IMDb. The summary is George's mother throws her back out when, when she falls down after catching George performing a personal act. The gang partakes in a contest of self-control. So I have never seen Seinfeld. I think I told Rock, I've seen two documentaries on Seinfeld.
Wow.
And wow. Half of the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and that's as close as I've gotten to watching Seinfeld.
That's really cool. Like, that's, man, it would be so awesome to never have seen Seinfeld.
Right, it's hard to find someone who's
like,
never
seen that. That's so cool to me.
That was the first time I've ever actually sat and watched an entire episode from start to finish.
Oh, nice.
So,
did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I laughed a lot.
What was your first? Because we've all seen Friends,
here. Right?
What was your first impression on Seinfeld compared to Friends?
I thought it was just a different type of comedy of Friends. Like, oh, this is just like Friends again, but the main character is Jerry instead of
what came first, Seinfeld, right?
I'm pretty sure
Seinfeld came before Friends.
I think it did, maybe like a year before,
right?
I think Seinfeld started in like 89 and
but
Friends.
But
in
I've literally like seen all of Friends, and that was the first time I've watched an entire episode of Seinfeld.
So for you, in your mind, Friends came before. So it's like
almost. Because I watched it first. Right. That's all.
That makes sense. No, that does make sense.
Yeah. Let me just bring up something crazy about these two episodes that we didn't mean for these two episodes to have, and it's the similarities with the naked person across the street of the main apartment. There's the naked ugly guy across the street from the friend's apartment, and then there's the pretty
attractive
naked lady across from Jerry's apartment in Seinfeld. And at the very end of both episodes, their weirdest character, I would think their weirdest character, just I'll make my case in a minute for why I think Ross is a horrible person.
He said weirdest. He didn't say horrible.
Man, that got way worse. Yeah. Weirdest, terrible, he should be killed on the spot kind of person.
That escalated quickly.
Thank you.
Tomato, tomato. But yeah. Both of their, unlikable characters, just in terms of personhood, end up at the naked person's apartment at the end of the episode. Right. So,
real quick, Seinfeld dropped in 89. Friends in 94.
Yeah, five years apart.
That's what I thought it was.
Friends was 94. Yeah. That was 91. Mm. All right.
What were you doing in 91?
He was going to middle school.
I was in a
contest. He was graduating high school?
No, I was in a contest with my friends.
Who can lose their hair the fastest?
George Costanza?
Did you win?
Well.
We'll find out the season finale.
I hate you guys.
Okay. So just having mentioned that, is that a motif in like...
What does that mean?
A thing that occurs in all... Cameron, look this up. Motif. M-O-T-I-F. It's like a recurring theme. You don't need to look it up.
In Friends, theme. Ugly... Okay, are you talking about the ugly naked guy?
The naked person across
Friends,
the street.
In Friends, yes. Seinfeld, no.
No. Seinfeld,
like,
that's
just
like
so happened to be that we watched
super
the
rare.
What about other episode? New York-based or just metropolitan area-based shows that we know of? Is that a motif, like a naked person across the street?
I can't think of one from How I Met Your Mother.
No.
They didn't really look out the window that much, though.
Yeah, I can't think of a naked...
No. Wasn't there the one time where they were on top of the roof and they saw something? I don't know if it was a naked guy, but they go on top... They have roof parties a lot, and I thought there was something that happened... On the roof. I don't know. I'm rewatching it currently.
I know that they at least have literally an episode called The Naked Man, but it's about something different. It's about...
Right. They do have an episode of The Naked Man, and that one's a great episode.
I think in King of Queens there is, where Kevin James' character keeps looking outside his bedroom window because there's like a hot neighbor, I think.
Aren't they like in the suburbs too?
In Queens.
Yeah, in Queens. You guys need to brush up on here.
I have no
idea. It's called King of Queens. Like,
oh, that makes sense. I never watched that show. I've never seen that show in my life.
Solid show.
But you've been there.
Did we go to Queens?
I don't know.
That's meant you've been to New York, so you should know.
But we didn't go to Queens.
But you should know what the different suburbs are, what the groups are.
The borough. I know some of the boroughs, but I mean, to me, they could be all look the same. I've never been to all of them.
Right, which is why it's based on Queens, so you should know what the city is like.
No, I just asked if there was a suburbs.
True.
All right, let's move on.
Lawyered.
Let's talk about Friends first, since that's the first one we watched. I want to break down the characters a little bit, mostly because Seinfeld was new to me and Friends wasn't, but I tried to look at it through the lens of somebody that hadn't seen Friends before. Avi.
Totes.
Hence the show. In this episode, I think that Chandler's only the only likable character with a major role. Like, Rachel's there, but she's not really in it. Like,
in this episode?
Yes.
I thought Joey was likable.
He's keeping the secrets.
Like,
let me tell you why I don't think Joey's character is treated well. Maybe he is likable, but his character isn't treated well. I don't know if I hadn't seen the rest of Friends, this episode portrays Joey as almost like a child going back and forth between two divorced parents or two regular parents.
What's wrong with that? That's Joey.
He's not. Okay.
I just, if it's a show about 30, 20 somethings that are friends, like, why even have a Joey in your group? Based on the characters that we saw.
You're just going from that episode.
Yeah, just based on this episode.
You don't know anything else about Joey.
Right.
Other than he's a loyal friend, or tries to be.
I feel like a lot of groups have the Joey type. Maybe this type of Joey. What we saw in this episode, like that loyal guy who doesn't want to stir the pot, but
I'm not talking about that type of loyalty. I'm not talking about him as a character himself. Like, yes, I admit he was likable. He does have loyalty. He does try to bring some reality into the group by suggesting that they do something that makes sense. Right. Like, let's stop keeping these secrets. But they mistreat him.
Oh, no doubt.
They almost, and it's almost, I don't know, it's it almost hurtful the way they mistreat him. They belittle him. They talk down on him. They use him. It's really weird. It's really like,
and you know, like know. You have Joey and Phoebe who are kind of like the different genders, but kind of the same type of character. But sure. They don't treat Phoebe the same way that they treat
They don't. I mean, this is some context, but in earlier seasons, they treated her differently because she was like the hippie dippy person. Right. But if you're looking at this episode, she just comes off like a big time slut. Like she knows her way around the arts of seduction, right? She uses all these lines on Chandler, and they're one right after another. Boom, 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 boom.
But I don't think that's true because the whole thing about it is it's so awkward because neither of them know how to be seductive.
It's that cringe,
right?
Comedy.
It's like, yeah, it's kind of, it's really funny because like these two don't know what they're doing and they're not used to this at all. Even though she implies it, because she basically says it. Like,
I can see how it's cringy at the end.
Like, are you ready to have the sex?
No. It's like, the whole time. Oops.
I get how that's cringy, but what about right before the oops in the cafe?
The flirtatious, oh, look at your bicep.
Yes.
Ooh, wow, that jacket looks great on you.
Really?
Yeah, the material looks so soft. Oh, hello, Mr. Bicep. Have you been working out?
Well, I try to, you know, squeeze things. Oh. You okay?
Well, if you really want to know, I can't tell you this.
Maybe it's me. You can tell me anything.
Well, actually, you're the one person I can't tell this to, and the one person I want to the most.
What's going on?
I think it's just, you know, that I haven't been with a guy in so long, and you know how sometimes you're looking for something and you just don't even see that it's right there in front of you sipping coffee. Oh no, have I said too much? Yeah, just something to think about. I know I will.
That's pretty crazy. The way she did it was super.
Like, is that sexy to you, Chris? Is that how
I think
seductive she comes
was,
across?
I think she was using every line she knew.
Right.
The cheesiest, most awkward ones.
Yeah.
Like, because the guy has no arms. And so that was why it was preposterous that it was.
So
funny.
You don't think she comes off like.
I did not get that at all in this episode.
I think if you look at it from Chandler's lens, he feels like he was like. Because I don't know. He was. Kind of buying into it until he felt his arms. It was like it worked, like it put a glaze over his eyes. So I think that she knows that at least on the surface it can do something.
And just guys though.
No, and I think that because we know that Chandler hasn't had a lot of luck with women,
right.
Like at all. I think he's at one point he counted it before, like, oh, it's like three or four women. Like he has such low self esteem that when a girl uses any line, he's just like head over heels because like, oh, somebody's giving me attention.
Right.
Let me talk about Ross now, since we just mentioned Ross. Phoebe.
I think I'm going to be on the same track as you.
So Ross, super whiny.
Oh yes,
okay. Super conceited.
Okay,
and absolutely. Thinks he deserves things just for being him.
Okay, not, that's not every for American. Go ahead.
You can't generalize like that.
Yes,
that's,
I can.
I mean, yeah, you can, okay. But you're wrong. If I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong.
Rock is a total Ross.
You're such a Ross.
Typical Ross rocker.
Ross comes off as a very unlikable character for me in this episode. For those reasons, for being super whiny, for being super conceited.
Okay, Ross is the Ted Mosby. He's
much worse. Don't ever put him and Ted Mosby together.
No, he's way worse than Ted Mosby.
Yes, he is. When we first meet Ross in Friends, that was more Ted Mosby. And the one we saw today was nowhere near Ted Mosby.
the more I've watched Friends, it's, I mean, it's not, now we're not out of context, because now we're not out of context because I've seen too much of it.
Okay, so yeah, yeah.
So my opinion is completely biased on Ross.
Sure.
But as far as this episode goes, he went above and beyond to get his apartment. So, I mean, he puts the work in.
Did because what he had to be done.
So he's not used to getting a no.
And hard work, it paid off. He got his apartment.
And Ross, I mean, even though he's not used to getting a no, Ross is a very hard worker. Like, he's worked for his doctorate. He's the nerd geek. You know, like, he's Mr. Lame himself.
I disagree that he's a hard worker. I think things were handed to him.
But I feel like that's a biased opinion also because you've seen the show. And so you know his parents coddled him. You know that Monica was always the hated one and that he was the favorite and that's...
He knew his craft,
trickled
though.
Into his character.
How can he not be a hard worker if he knew his craft? He had to do a lot of studying to become a paleontologist.
Okay, if we're going in context, he is actually one of the least admired people in the paleontology department. His book is in the nobody section of the library. One person recognized him.
She was hot, from the books. She was super hot.
He was easily let go. Like, they let him go like it was nothing.
But then they brought him back. But who needs a paleontologist? Tenure. I mean,
right. Absolutely.
If you seriously. Need to teach a paleontology class. Like, he's not revered.
He couldn't even spell Bosco Dictyosaur.
Well, no. Later on in the seasons, he is.
Absolutely. He gets tenure. He becomes
like a celebrity, a minor celebrity because of something. I don't remember.
Earlier in the seasons, yes, he is. Kind of, he's more of an outcast in the paleontology world, but later on in the seasons,
but I feel like
you talk about how he is like a celebrity.
I do get where you're coming from, though.
I do, but
I'm not the hugest Ross fan.
Because if you remember the.
When he's with Charlie.
Okay. In that, the reason he went to Bahamas or Bermuda, if you remember, that dude fell asleep during his proposal. Had he been awake, do you think Ross would have gone to Bermuda? Do you think he would have been invited to go to talk?
I don't think it was.
We're going on to context. We shouldn't. So from this episode,
Ross is an asshole.
From this episode,
yes,
Ross has minimal screen time,
and the screen time that he has,
he's naked.
Everybody's super unlikable. If you really think about
that's
it,
right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
I agree. Saying. I agree with you, Chris. If you're looking at just this,
but
episode,
I looked at it as he wants an apartment that's across the street from his friends. He wants an apartment that's across the street from his friends.
Right.
And he does what needs to be done to get it.
Honestly, if I'm looking at just this episode, Joey's the only one I really like.
I do want to retract and say that Rachel, partly unlikable because she didn't do anything really wrong.
Rachel is unlikable throughout this.
Right. Yeah.
I get it. Stay off of context.
Are we all going to poo-poo on Chris now?
But Joey was likable. The only reason I said unlikable with him is because I didn't like how he was treated.
That makes sense. I didn't like how he's treated, but man, he was just such a good friend during that whole time, and you just felt for him.
And
like,
he didn't deserve to, even though he's an idiot, like, he didn't deserve to be treated like
that's
that.
Mean.
Right. And he got stupider as the series went
on. For sure.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure. They found that people loved it, and so they played
like you said in one of our earlier episodes, after season 6, like, why even watch Friends? Because they become just caricatures of what they were before.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
I
enjoyed it, though, nonetheless.
Let's talk about Monica. Had they not mentioned at the very end that Ross is her brother, when she says, no, my sister, when Ross says that at the window, I could have probably pinned them as siblings just because of how much of an asshole she is.
Okay. This is gonna be the most downloaded episode ever.
She's super controlling.
All they do is bash Friends the whole time.
She's super controlling of Chandler. They just started dating,
okay, but that's her character. She's,
right, and it's unlikable,
right,
to you. But some guys like that shit.
Brock loves it.
Because you're listening right now, and I love it when she's in control. Thank you, babe.
She's
what time should
listening.
I be home? Let me know.
You think that she could possibly be, if you've never seen Friends or never even heard of it, she could possibly be an ex of Ross's?
I don't know. That's a good question.
See, what I didn't understand, because I always got the feeling that Rachel was the trashier one. So why didn't Rachel, why wasn't she the one that got in on it and tried to go after Chandler?
I think it would have been way too far-fetched for Rachel to like Chandler, to be completely honest. No, to be completely honest.
That's so rude.
I do like in this episode where like none of these people fit normal ideas of what people are like.
That's legit, and that's one of the things that I want to talk about later when we talk about Seinfeld. These people in Seinfeld, like, I know these people.
Oh, absolutely.
People from Friends. These are just, like,
they're not realistic.
No, yeah, not at all.
You can't relate.
That's the group. We'll for go into it. We'll go
but
into
that's
it.
That's why people
except
like to watch
except
it.
Except for Chandler. And you know what? Chandler reminded me of early Jimmy Chandler. Fallon in his early SNL seasons when he would almost break, you know, and he was, like, almost about to laugh, and you're like, damn it, Jimmy Fallon, keep it together. That's what it reminded me of, because every time something weird would come up, like, Chandler would almost laugh.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I know you want to. I know you want to laugh, because this is so funny.
That's what makes Chandler the relatable one.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Early Chandler,
On this episode specifically.
And it makes me hate Monica more for her being so controlling of him.
Absolutely.
In this episode.
And he allows it because it's, I mean, this is the best thing
Rock
that's
ever
happened to him.
Rock is a Gellerite, so I...
Richard Nathaniel Geller.
Ross Rocker. I was his fourth marriage. They didn't talk about that one.
It's gay marriage.
It was too political.
Ooh, do we say that nowadays? Gay marriage?
I didn't say it.
Why would gay marriage be not political?
Yeah, this is going to be the most downvoted episode.
Are you assuming that my marriage is happy?
Are you assuming that I am a cigarette marriage? Caleb?
What?
No, that's not. That's, no, I went. Yeah.
Don't
edit
say
that
it,
out.
But, but we know what it is. Don't
it's
say
okay,
it.
Joey. It's okay.
I'm Joey right now, always.
Oh, I get it.
No, and Caleb's also Joey, but he's not. He's just old and doesn't want to be. Just wants to be a part
he
of it.
He didn't hear. He was hearing aid.
My headphones aren't very, very good.
Yeah, you should put your hearing aid on.
So let's go to
Grandpa.
To Seinfeld. Oh,
yeah. So. In Seinfeld, the characters, like we said, they're less cartoony, right? They're not as like one dimensional.
They're definitely not one dimensional.
When they were having those conversations in the cafe, it almost you could play this entire episode through a radio and still get the same effect, I think.
That's
because they can tell stories and it's super funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like each of them is their own stand-up comedian. Like it started with Jerry Seinfeld being a stand-up comedian and ended that way. But if you think about the story that the lady told, what's her name?
Elaine
told.
Elaine Bennis.
And then the story that George told, Kramer didn't really tell a story, but those stories are really, really funny.
Kramer did tell a story.
What was it?
About being young and looking through your window to try to hopefully get your neighbor to, you know,
to find that
take,
naked girl
take your
clothes
off
at our windows.
So relatable.
So I noticed something that kind of went off of those storytelling moments. They are really good, and I say they, the people that created the show are really good at emphasizing the mannerisms of the characters. There's specific shots where they cut to Kramer and Jerry just like adjusting themselves and like, oh, okay, like they're listening. Like, and I'm like, you don't need to do that, but that's amazing that like you're there with them. And then there was another one where George kind of leaned in to listen closer to Elaine and the camera zoomed in a little bit. I was
that's
so amazing.
That's the writing also. I mean,
Jerry Seinfeld
is genius.
Yeah,
like that.
Classic.
That's why he was so big.
And I think it's so obvious that it was written by a stand-up comedian because of how well the storytelling is.
You're
right. Not just like, here's these silly things that happen all the time. But because we could have easily had like a flashback or
they could have just showed us
they could have showed us like
happened.
You're right.
Like when Elaine is working out with JFK
Jr.
would have shown it
or any show today, any sitcom today,
right,
would have just shown it and not told the story,
right? But Elaine told it and it was so much better because she told it, and it felt honest.
I think Costanza's deed that made his mom fall, him telling that story, was funnier than
it's
if they had
classic.
Showed it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, much
funnier. If they
funnier.
Had showed it, it would have just been tacky.
Yeah.
But because of the way he told it, you're just like cringing, but it's hilarious because he's sitting there like just baring to his friends like, look, this is what happened. I'm never going to do that again. They're like, oh, yeah, right. Bull.
Yeah.
You're going to do it again. I bet you. So then that's the whole.
Yeah. But also back then, I think it was more difficult to get things by like the censors, the writing. So they had to be smart about the writing rather than, you know,
so make it into an skill. Actual.
Yeah, it took
absolutely
more skill, rather
clever and creative.
They had to be a little more clever with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
so you're
saying I think
for
that's
sure
why
Seinfeld is smarter than all the Friends writers.
Yes.
I just want you on record.
Yeah. I mean, I don't honestly. I watch both Friends, and
him and
I
Larry
think
David,
Seinfeld's on a whole other level.
Both of them are genius.
Seinfeld's on a whole level of creativity right. with their writing, because they do so much more with so much less. It's almost the whole show is almost dialogue. It's like three major places where the show takes place: Jerry's apartment, the cafe, and I don't even know where else.
I mean, those are the two major ones.
That's just really. There's only two.
And this episode would be like the hospital or the gym, but
they're always in the cafe,
right?
And they're always in his apartment,
just like the coffee
just like
shop.
In Friends,
or
they're always in the coffee apartment. Shop. They're right. always in. So what about? So we talked about pretty much most of Seinfeld.
I didn't get much from Jerry in this episode. He seems like the audience, and I know Cameron, you mentioned that somebody was the audience last time. Do you remember who?
Just
that was?
Seems like everything runs through him.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned last time that Jim from The Office is like the audience watching these cringy things happen, and that's why his expressions are sometimes your own expressions.
Right, so then you understand what you're supposed to be feeling too, because he feels that. And
right.
So that you're not alone and thinking this is crazy. Right,
right. And so Jerry seems like the audience in this show, where you look at him and he has these silly, goofy faces whenever somebody's telling a story, and then he asks all the follow-up questions. So what did you do? So what did you say? Stuff like that, and it's exactly what I want to know about these stories and these characters.
Yeah, that's just good writing.
Jerry's a good. He does that, but they do a really good job on the show to give everybody their episode. And it happens quite often. Like, one episode is going to be more Costanza. Right. One's going to be more Kramer.
Right.
Jerry's mostly going to be that guy in all of them. But Jerry, I mean, they do a really good job of sharing that.
I'd be interested to see.
Where Costanza's asking the follow-up questions, or Elaine. Elaine does it a lot. Kramer really doesn't do follow-up questions. But
I would be interested to watch more Seinfeld purely to see how his role is in each of the episodes. Because is he always the facilitator? Because
right.
that's what he came across as in this episode. He's
right.
the facilitator.
Yeah.
But I would like more from him sometimes. So I wouldn't know because this.
Well, you're going to get it, baby. Giddy up.
One of the things I admired about the jokes, and I kind of was thinking about a Radio Lab I was listening to. It's one of the newer ones that talks about loops, how life is full of loops. It goes in circles and cycles. And in Seinfeld, Jerry comes back to jokes a lot. So he has a recurring joke. And for this one, it was them laying in bed and struggling and stuff like that. And he does it to a point almost where it gets tired. And you could probably think like, oh, yeah, that was funny the first time, and like second time, and like, now I'm kind of getting tired of it. But the last time that it comes back, like it didn't do it as much in this episode, but the last time the joke comes back, it's hilarious. It's like, oh, yeah, it feels fresh for whatever reason. It's because you've gone in a loop of figuring out like, oh, it was funny. That was kind of old. Oh, man, that joke is so good now.
So with this episode specifically, I saw a lot of similarities between the characters here and the characters with Friends. But like we said earlier, these guys are relatable. These guys are our friends. We see them in the people that we work with or interact with every day. The writing is more in depth. These people have actual like three dimensions, you know. Whereas Friends kind of seem cartoonish.
Yeah.
So, but that's just based on this right. episode.
Friends is more of a typical sitcom.
Friends is more of a arc driven. Like there's stories behind it, and Seinfeld is just better writing. And it seems like it's from episode to episode will be kind of a different story.
Definitely a different type of humor as well.
Right.
Don't they say it's a show about nothing? Isn't that like
Seinfeld,
its
yeah.
tagline?
So each episode is just kind of, it feels like it would be just kind of a different episode. There's no real story
behind it. That tagline came from an episode within an episode where they created a show based on basically the show we're watching in the show. It's Inception. And it was their tagline was, it's a show about nothing. And they're like, well, who wants to watch a show about nothing? And George gets crazy.
You know what what Seinfeld reminded me of? The first season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia before Frank shows up and they have money to do really weird stuff. You have the weird character that, you know, they're just friends with him so that they seem more normal. And I think that's Kramer. I think just based on what I've seen, Kramer's the one that, how could he possibly be looking into somebody else without knowing where he lives? How could he possibly be looking into somebody's window across the way of a multi-story apartment building if he doesn't live there? I mean, obviously he could live there, top or bottom, but he could be in the street just looking at people's windows to see if anybody's naked. And then he runs up the stairs and tells Jerry, dude, there's somebody naked.
Yeah, check, that was kind of
check,
funny.
You know, five up, three over.
Even with context, that was weird.
Hey, look at this. Come here. There's a naked woman across the street.
Where?
Second floor from the top. See the window on the left?
Wow. Who walks around the house like that?
Like I can almost imagine him like Charlie, where he's just so weird and he has these really weird friends and he brings them along to meet the other characters just out of weirdness, just out of check out how weird we can get with this character. George seems a lot like Dennis, where the only person, the only thing he hates more than...
You know we're comparing Seinfeld to Friends, not to Always Sunny.
I know.
You can do that, Rod.
What I'm saying is, this is what it reminded me of I've seen.
But I was just literally thinking this, as you were saying that, was in The Office, you know, Kramer is Dwight.
Is he really?
No. Yes. No.
Dwight is off the wall. Like, he talks about things that no one else in The Office relates to. He's
but you don't really... animals. Like, as the audience, you kind of like, you get to like Dwight, but you don't really like Dwight. Like, Dwight is not a character.
Dwight
if you were in the show, if you worked in The Office, you wouldn't really like Dwight, but you like Kramer.
You would want to chill with Kramer.
Like you right. would like for sure. Like Pam and Jim have proven that they end up liking Dwight.
End up.
Yeah.
You like time. Kramer. Kramer's like a good person. Like, he'll get you hooked up with stuff. He's funny.
So who's the Kramer of Friends? Because you said Ross earlier. I think Kramer is Phoebe. Friends.
I would say Phoebe.
I mean, I don't know if they fit together, but
it's
not
exact, obviously. I'm just saying, was that the thing though? Every sitcom, because you have Always Sunny, you have the Friends, you have what's that show with Frasier? You have the big guy that no one likes. But he's
the mailman?
No.
Where everybody knows your name?
What?
Oh, you said Frasier, not Cheers.
I said Frasier. Okay. I meant Cheers. What's that guy's name?
You meant Cheers, though.
I meant Cheers. Okay. We were talking about Cheers earlier. The big guy that comes into the bar all the time with the curly hair.
They love him.
Right, but he's just weird. He's a weird
Norm?
Character.
Norm. Cliff. The mailman, Cliff, who everyone kind of picks on. Man.
You did say the mailman. He's a weird character. That's what I meant was like, that these sitcoms dog? Have weird no, characters to maybe normalize the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but like, you hate Ross for what reason?
Because he's an asshole.
Okay, Chris hates assholes.
You have friends that are assholes.
Chris is an asshole.
And he hates me.
I'm right here. Jason's right here. Caleb's right here.
No, you're not assholes like Ross is an asshole because I've known people that are like Ross that are conceited and that think that they deserve everything. And one of them I considered just the worst person I probably have ever met. What was his name? I don't want to call him out on radio, but we knew him in high school.
Let's not say his name.
Wore suits to school.
Christian?
He had a briefcase.
That's dope. Mr. Woods from fifth grade English? Is that what you're talking about? You're talking about a teacher right now.
No, I'm talking about a student.
Christian Lopez.
Christian.
And he wouldn't participate when we were doing this video together for an English class. Like, everything was above him. Like,
he was above everything.
I mean, he felt that way for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. Get it right.
But these are the type of people that I do not like.
Right, so you for some reason have tied Ross to that elitist.
Based on this episode.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
No, you don't like him based on all episodes, right?
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah, but based on this episode also.
Do you think you
based
think
on this episode Ross was likable?
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah,
come
I,
off
I don't. I feel like you're bringing
in
a little bit
episode.
Of history, though,
I'm not,
bro. To be honest,
no context, dog.
No, I'm
like,
not.
I don't,
I'm,
not,
not
a, I'm not a big Ross fan, but I didn't really get that much hatred for him. You got like some real
like,
deal
if you
hate.
Came, if you come into this with no context, and you look at Ross, and it's you would probably feel sympathy for him first because you'd be like, why are they bagging on this guy?
He was whiny though.
Yeah, but like, why? Maybe he's not always whiny. Maybe he's being whiny this time because.
What was one likable thing that you found about Ross in this episode?
He worked hard.
It was this innocent moment where they're all like dancing and like Ross.
Oh yeah,
it was so cool. Like it was so funny because he let it go. Like he just it was so stupid
when they were talking about him possibly getting the episode and they were trying to distract him from seeing Chandler and Monica through the window.
Yeah,
and then they all dance, and they're like, "Oh yeah!"
And he just lets it go, and he's like, "No,
ah!" He goes with it. So,
like, I mean,
that's a likable part.
It was like a playful.
Okay. It really was. It was really playful, sure. And he let himself.
He busted Carlton.
That really changes my mind, you guys.
well, our job is not to change his mind.
His character development just flourished at that moment. I felt like everything that had been leading up to that moment, where he danced one time with his friends,
but then he tried to bribe the ugly naked guy. He noticed that he can
bribe him with the smallest basket of muffins.
Because he thinks it's worth that much to this little person.
What?
I didn't get that.
You're coming. No.
I'm not.
Michael Jordan reach. You are 7'6" reach.
You are carrying resentment.
Let's move on. I hate Roz. You guys love Roz.
No, only the Sith deal in absolutes.
Okay. Let's talk about plot. Which show had the best, strongest plot?
Oh, this is a tough one because I thought both plots were pretty dang good.
So somebody summarize, just in your own words, the plot to Friends in the episode that we watched.
Rock.
Okay, the plot to the episode that we watched of Friends was that Chandler and Monica are seeing each other, and it's the first time that Phoebe finds out when Joey and Rachel have already known, and then they decide to tease him about it and manipulate and... It's about them finding out that each other knows and who doesn't know and keeping it a secret. And so the entire episode finally ends with everybody finding out, except for Ross, until after the credits roll. Then Ross ends up finding out and not getting his job back.
And you can tell that the story will continue. Like, you can tell the story is just building and you know, getting thicker. Right.
That's the plot for this episode.
Yeah. And then the plot for Seinfeld... I haven't seen it, so
I'll let you
for Seinfeld.
Sure, I mean if you want to.
Oh, it's easy. So it starts out with Jerry is dating a virgin,
mm-hmm.
and he can't contain himself.
That's not how it started, was it?
Right. But also, so George and him are talking, and George goes to his mom's house to pick up the mail, and the parents aren't home, so he sees a Vogue magazine or Glamour magazine.
Glamour.
And decides to, you know, finish himself, which is odd. I mean, who stops at their parents' house and decides to have an afternoon quickie with themselves?
Weird. Afternoon and night.
So his mom walks in on him, catches him. She falls down, hurts her back, goes to the hospital. So George is telling Jerry, you know, the story about what happened. They get on to who could last longer without pleasing themselves, and they make a contest out of it. Who could last longer?
The plot is a bet of who the can contest, be the master of their domain, queen of the castle.
40 days and 40 nights.
Ooh, thunder.
Lord of the manor. King of the county.
Queen of the castle.
Queen of the castle. I already said
that one. So which one, in your opinion, has the best plot?
It's got to be Friends. Because, I mean, Seinfeld is a great story, but that's all it is. It's a one-episode story.
It doesn't need to continue.
Right.
No,
right.
I definitely think it's the one that's real life. Like, this story ends, as opposed to Friends' story will go on. It's really, like, meaningful. It's a super meaningful story. So I got to go Friends. I think it's not even close.
That was a weird sentence.
I don't know how to speak.
We thought you were disagreeing. And then
I was not trying to say
that. You're like, no, Friends for sure.
No, you guys are wrong. It's Friends.
That was, yeah.
I would agree that
Friends. Thank you for agreeing with me, Chris.
That Friends had the worst characters. I mean, the best plot.
Next question. I also agree with that, Chris.
Based on these two episodes, would you or would you not continue watching each?
I want to watch more of Seinfeld. Yes,
I definitely want to watch all of Seinfeld.
I would want to watch. I want to watch. I've seen Seinfeld. And I want to watch it now because that was funny. And but I would want to watch both of them, to be honest. I thought they were both pretty funny to me.
I thought
in their different ways.
I thought both episodes were great.
Yeah, I don't know if I would watch Friends all that much, like because I kind of know the stories, and I remember when I was a kid, like actually watching the season finale, like or series finale when it was on TV, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, maybe that ruined it for me or something like that. But Seinfeld, I just recently started watching, like it was just randomly on TV, and it was like, and it comes in bunches, so I couldn't stop watching it.
Probably WGN,
something like that. Or C no not C W
W B
W B
yeah
I think Seinfeld's gonna be one that I start from the beginning for sure.
Keep me posted on that, by the way. I love when people get into stuff that I'm really interested in for the first time, especially something that's so old.
Like, and then we
like The Wire.
Like The Wire.
Yeah, should watch.
No, but
The Wire,
I'm definitely interested in hearing your thoughts on it because I love that show and it's really fun to watch. It's like 9 seasons too. It's crazy.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I would definitely watch both shows based on this. Despite Ross being unlikable, I mean, I like plenty of shows where characters are unlikable. So,
yeah, that's definitely your thing for sure.
Being unlikable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally off-putting. That's kind of what I go for when I wake up and look in the mirror. Like,
not necessarily you, but like others around you.
What?
Like, you like people like that. Off-putting people.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming over.
That's where I was getting at.
Okay. Any last thoughts on either of these shows?
I think in general, I think Friends is an easier show for just anyone to watch and to get into. Seinfeld, you kind of have to have that humor, that you have to like that type of writing. That's why I think Friends might be higher.
It's only ranked 2 higher on IMDb.
Really?
It was 48. But still ranked higher.
I think that's why. Because watching these, I love Friends, but watching these, I would much rather watch Seinfeld. I think that episode was much better than the episode we watched of Friends.
Yeah. I mean, one's a dry sense of humor, and right. I think we all have this.
But I think you have to like that.
What I was going to say was I feel like with Seinfeld, you don't have to know the context to be entertained.
Right.
You can come in on any time during that episode.
Absolutely.
And watch it to the end, and you'll have figured out what was going on, and you'll still be entertained by what the characters are doing. If you miss the first part of that Friends episode where they see it, then you won't know how they know, and you won't know why they're making such a big deal out of it, and you might miss some of the context that the rest of the episode has.
I would also say Friends is the type of show that you grow with the characters as well, because there's a overarching storyline, and I think the characters grow as well. As like Seinfeld, you don't really get that much growth in terms of...
And the characters don't grow.
They don't.
No.
Literally, Jerry...
They're
Kramer,
all
they're
just kind of
they're all the exact same person from the first episode almost. To the last episode.
Right.
I want yeah. They
I like
are
my
unlikable.
Characters to grow. Like at the end of Friends, Ross is amazing. So
some would say he's like the nicest, most,
the most
on-putting.
He ends
character.
Up. He ends up with the girl. He gets the girl. He has to be a good guy
because she got off the plane.
Yeah, he gets the girl.
Shit. Did she though?
Spoiler alert.
Did she?
Oh no.
She did.
But did she?
Ross has been married how many times? Like, come on.
People must like him if they keep marrying him.
Yeah, Chris.
He's got 2 kids.
Yeah, come on.
It's not because he's an asshole that people keep divorcing him.
Well, he's really the one that got divorced at least once of those. One, right?
I want to say that most of those divorces, people divorced him.
Not with Emily, right?
Emily, for
oh my
sure.
God!
Emily,
are you serious?
She wanted name. Him.
He called her Rachel at the wedding.
That he didn't want her though. He wanted Rach.
So he was the one who initiated the divorce.
Yeah,
what? Sure.
Okay, but she's the one that did the divorce.
Like
though.
she even came back to New York, and he wasn't. He's like, I can't give up my girl.
Because she wanted him to never be friends with her ever again.
Exactly. He wanted Rachel still. So.
You know what? I've changed my mind about Ross. He is such a good guy.
See? I told you.
Mission accomplished.
It grows on you, right?
It grows on me like mold grows.
Dr. Ross Geller.
So it does, in fact, grow?
Yeah.
All right.
The fact that he called himself a doctor at a hospital was amazing. Okay.
Great.
Jeez,
all right.
Don't call yourself doctor. That means something here.
All right.
Classic.
Well, this has been our episode where we compared Friends and Seinfeld. This has been the No Context Podcast. I want to give a quick shout out to Radiolab. We mentioned Radiolab today.
Radiolab.
Radiolab.
With Jada Boomrod and Robert Krolwich.
Krolwich.
The other day, actually, Latif Nasser liked one of my posts.
What?
So that was cool.
The?
The Latif Nasser, who is a producer for Radiolab.
Oh, that so,
that's cool.
We made it, fellas.
We made it. Radiolab is a show on NPR. It's a really good show, a podcast on NPR.
Neil Patrick Radio?
Yeah,
Neil Patrick. Neil Patrick Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been the No Context Podcast. I've been your host, Chris Lopez. Thanks so much for listening. You can catch us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at No Context Does Show, or on our website at nocontextpodcast.com. All right. Check us out.
Also, what's up at?
On TikTok.
TikTok.
Watch us dance. All right. Bye.
Peace.
Out. Oh.